Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's ride.
For the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium, take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What's up, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. This is Kevin Klein speaking. I am fired up today because the Los Angeles Dodgers took down the Colorado Rockies and took the series against the Kansas City Royals. There's some bad things we're going to talk about, but I'm not going to let that ruin my night because the Dodgers had a dominating win, even though JP FireEisen decided to make it very scary last minute. But your Los Angeles Dodgers are 45-29, and we're excited to welcome first-time guest to the Incline Dodgers podcast, making his debut. You can call him Coach. It's Coach Barakoff. Coach, how you doing? Tell us about yourself. Let's hear it.
Man, first off, you guys are awesome. I follow your account. You guys do a great job. Pumped to be on. I'm a lifelong Dodger fan. Grew up in Southern California. I'm 50, so I've been a fan for 50 years. Bleed Dodger blue, been to games, grew up. 81 and 88 are my favorite teams ever. I love the Dodgers. I think I've got a record going. I don't think I've missed a game, radio or TV, in 8 years. So I'm going to keep that streak alive. I love the Dodgers. I got my wife into it. My daughter's into it now. I work the pitch clock for the Oklahoma City team, our AAA team. So I'm in the press box. I'm a basketball coach that just loves the Dodgers, man. So this is an honor to be on with you guys and talk baseball for a little bit. I love it.
Wait a second.
Thanks for joining.
Mark, you said that you haven't missed a game in how long?
It's been maybe 8 years. I mean, sometimes I'm a college basketball head coach and I'll have the headphones in practice maybe sometimes. I don't tell anybody that, but I don't miss a game. Radio, TV. I've been to China 3 or 4 times doing some basketball stuff, and I would get up at these odd hours to hear the games. And I'm telling you, I'm a diehard Dodger fan. Like, don't miss.
You have us beat, my friend. I think
you beat me. That's dedication. You are like Steve Garvey, Cal Ripken status right now.
I was patting myself on the back for getting up for the Seoul Korea series. I was like, I'm up at 3 a.m.
No, man, we made that a big outing here in my house. We were not missing that, man. I love it. I love Dodger baseball.
That's awesome. Well, we're excited to have you on board. What's up, chat? Drop your comments. Tell us how you're feeling. We'll get to some questions later on. Like I said, to kick off the show, the Dodgers beat the Colorado Rockies. Shout out to James Paxton for dealing tonight. 7 innings of 1-run ball, 8 strikeouts, kept the Rockies in check. Let's get into this. The Dodgers suffered some catastrophic injuries over the weekend. Not one, but 2 big blows. 3 if you want to throw in Michael Grove. That's obviously the big injury. Psych. Mookie Betts took a pitch to the wrist by Royals reliever Dan Altavilla. I believe that was in the 8th inning. This was easily the most I've ever seen Mookie Betts in pain. That was just a brutal sight to see and had to come out of the game. After the game, they revealed that the x-rays revealed a fracture in his left hand. So I want to get your guys' thoughts. Obviously, losing Mookie Betts is a huge blow. He's been playing shortstop all season long for the Dodgers, hitting leadoff for this ball club for the last 5 seasons. I'll start with you, Coach. What does this impact have on Mookie Betts being out for the Dodgers for potentially 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I was watching the game, and I had on the U.S. Open, too, at the same – I was watching it on both. And, like, I saw the pitch, and I'm like, he's laying there, like, in pain. Like, you never see Mookie act like that. And I'm like – I said, oh, my gosh, this is not good. But you know, what it does is you lose your leadoff hitter, you lose your captain, your leader of a team. It looks strange looking at the lineup every day now, not going to see him at the top of the order. It's Mookie Betts. He's one of the top baseball. I mean, Baseball America just came out. He's what, in the top five of players in all of baseball. It's a big loss. And we could sit here and discuss all day long about how you could fix that. It's Mookie Betts. You don't fix that. And I liked what Miggy Rowe did today. I hope, you know, I've been on record saying on a lot of different platforms that I like Miggy Rowe and Kike and those guys filling the need for him with there, but it's still Mookie Betts, fellas. It's going to be tough.
What are your thoughts, Jake Reiner?
Yeah, him writhing in pain on the ground was just a brutal scene, because you not only lose a guy who was favored to win MVP this year, which is no small feat. He finished second in MVP voting last season, so he was only improving. And the point that I put out there that I feel like is a big point, or maybe a point that is kind of under the radar a little bit. The Dodgers have struggled this year with hitting and with runners in scoring position, as we know. And going into tonight's game, they were tied for 10th in the National League with a .251 batting average and a .396 slugging percentage with runners in scoring position this season. Mookie this season is hitting .358 with over 1,000 OPS with runners in scoring position. So that right there is a huge concern when this team isn't that great anyway with hitting with runners in scoring position. You lose the best guy on your team that's able to do that. That's why they're quote unquote middle of the pack. Without Mookie Betts, they'd be at the bottom of the league. So that's something I'm going to be monitoring moving forward. Obviously tonight, it didn't seem to matter, and moving Shohei to the leadoff spot, they didn't skip a beat. Of course, after you lose two superstars like Mookie Betts and Yamamoto, you kind of want to face the Rockies to kind of get right. So that was very, very nice that they were able to face the Rockies and kind of beat up on them to kind of get that confidence back. I think this team will be fine, though. This team is going to win this division with or without Mookie Betts. I just hope that he's able to come back for the playoffs. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, you already mentioned how valuable he's been with runners in scoring position. It's not easy to replace a guy that's hitting 304 on the season with a 159 WRC plus. During his 5 years in Dodger Blue, he's put up a 24 F4, which is just insurmountable for anyone else to replace that other than, I guess, Shohei Ohtani and maybe Freddie Freeman, who really stepped up tonight. So in game one without Mookie, they really did look like superstars. But back to Mookie Betts, I think Coach mentioned it. This is the Miguel Rojas show now. He is going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers shortstop every day and every day out. And so far he delivered. He looked good tonight. He went 3-for-5, .292 batting average on the season, .799 OPS in the 2024 campaign. We know what he can do defensively, so at least the Dodgers will take an upgrade defensively. But yeah, this is Miguel Rojas' time to shine. And we kind of bagged on them a lot last year, why the Dodgers gave him the one-year extension, but he's proven us wrong. The front office has really proven us wrong. This has been kind of a real bargain deal, and we are very grateful that Rojas is on this roster right now.
Yeah, and I'll let Coach get in there in just a second, but I just have to say, as everyone knows that's been following us, I've been advocating for Miguel Rojas to get more playing time. I definitely didn't want this to happen. Like, this was not what I was talking about. I mean, I felt like he could have filled in a little bit more for, like, the Kike Hernandezes of the world. But I am very excited about the prospect of Miguel Rojas being the everyday shortstop. If for nothing else, the defense is better. Even tonight, you saw Kevin Biggio at third, who's a good defensive third baseman. You've got Miguel Rojas at short, who's a good defensive shortstop. Gavin Lux has been solid at second base defensively this year. And then you got Freddie Freeman, who's all world at first base. I think the defense, the infield defense, has improved without Mookie Betts if you want to look for a silver lining. The only thing with Miguel is we'll see. He's going to get more playing time. Is that going to mean his numbers will go down? Certainly didn't happen tonight. But we'll see over the stretch of games to see if that is going to hurt him, because that's what everyone was saying, is that the reason he's succeeding is because he doesn't play that often. and is able to rest more. So we'll see if that affects him at all.
Yeah, and if you look at the stretch of games we have coming up, we've got the Rockies, we've got our sisters down in Orange County, Giants, and the White Sox. I mean, if this was like, if there was ever a silver lining for this injury, like this is a good stretch of games where, because they said tonight on the broadcast, you know, Rojas is going to play, what, 3 out of 4. Chris Taylor's going to step in. You've got Kike going to step in. I think we're going to be okay with him. I like the signing last year. I like what he brings. He's had a year where he hit over 300. So this isn't something where he's never done this before. I like what we've got. I think he's going to be good. And you're right. We have upgraded at defensively at worst at shortstop now. And he's really good at shortstop. So I'm okay with it. I like Miggy Rowe there. And I know you guys might want to jump into it. I don't want to hear the Paul DeJong talk anymore. I'm okay with Miggy Rowe. I'm okay with him.
I haven't been good with Paul DeJong for the last 3 years, so I'm still not good with him.
I would take Rojas. I think he's the better player, no doubt about it. So with Mookie Betts, they're saying right now he's out 6 to 8 weeks is their timetable, which is kind of in alignment with what happened to Corey Seager during the 2021 campaign, missed 58 games, I believe. And the good news, if we're trying to be optimistic here, is when Corey Seager returned from his hand injury, he was sensational. He, I believe, 327 with an OPS above 1,000 and 12 home runs, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. So I'm hoping Mookie Betts kind of has a similar thing when he comes back. I don't think a hand injury is the worst scenario in the world as long as it heals properly. So all we have to really do and hope and pray as Dodger fans is that for that left hand, for the fracture to heal properly, because it could have been a lot worse. At least it's not a knee injury. At least it's not the lower body. So he'll still have his legs and all that underneath him. And he can bowl. I mean, he's got his right hand, so he can still bowl. So he can be happy and bowl in the meantime.
You know, you want to hear the ultimate spin zone take on this, is that I feel like with Mookie Betts sitting out, he's going to get so pissed. He's going to be itching to get back out on the field, prove the haters wrong. He's had a couple of bad postseasons in a row. If he's able to come back and play in the playoffs, we could be looking at a monster postseason performance. I hope that that is the recipe for that to happen, but wouldn't that be sweet? Mookie Betts just chomping at the bit to get out there to prove everyone wrong, and he gets out there and leads our team to a title. I mean, that would be epic.
Yeah, so he's going to be rested. He's going to be rested. It's his left hand, so he's able to throw still. So he's going to be able to work on some things. But you're right. Let's have an angry Mookie for the playoffs. Yeah, I'm down with that.
So we'll get to the super chat in just a second. I really appreciate that, Moose1032. But the other topic I wanted to cover with Mookie Betts being out, now that he was the leadoff hitter, you don't hear me say this too often, but the Dodgers are 100% correct with moving Shohei Ohtani into the leadoff spot. I could not think of a better player on this roster right now that should be hitting leadoff. We already know how beast of a player Shohei Ohtani is, and in his first game with Mookie out at the leadoff position, he went, I believe, 3 for 5 himself with 2 doubles, had a stolen base, scored a run or two, and looked like the Shohei Ohtani that we expect. So for me, you have to bat Shohei Ohtani leadoff for a variety of reasons. One, you have the very strong possibility that he'll hit a leadoff home run. Any chance you can have with this lineup right now, especially with how bad the bottom of the order is, you want to get that run on the board. Two, if anyone does get on base, Shohei Ohtani will be the first man up. He'll get the most opportunities to bat in the game. So I think this is the right call.
Thoughts? I think it's the right call too. Ultimately, if for nothing else, there really is no other option. You know, I think that that Ohtani is the clear cut decision to move to the leadoff spot. I had thought that, you know, if you wanted to think about this and see if there was maybe another option, the only two options that I could really think of, one would be Andy Páez, because he has the speed, and that is if you wanted to keep Shohei in the number two slot. But they're not going to do that. They're just going to move Will Smith up, or have Freddie hit second or whatever, or maybe keep Ohtani, Smith, and Freeman in that order. They're not going to move Páez up. The other guy, though, that if he was playing any better or playing up to the expectations that we'd all would hope that he would reach would be Gavin Lux, but they're not going to do that either because he's just not hitting the ball well. And so by default, Shohei Ohtani is going to be the leadoff hitter. I think it'll be fine. I mean, look, Shohei Ohtani is faster and a better base runner, I believe. Well, maybe not base runner, but Shohei Ohtani is better at stealing bases than Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is, by all intents and purposes, he's not fast. I mean, he's kind of slow. So you actually add speed by moving Shohei up to the leadoff spot. Kevin's right. He's going to get the most at-bats in the game. You want your best hitter to get the most at-bats in the game. He's going to come up with a lot of opportunities with runners on if the bottom of the order does their job. So at the start, when I saw the lineup come out, I was like, I don't really love it. But, you know, after thinking about it all day long and watching that game, I'm fine with it. And I think it's the only right move.
Yeah. You talked about his speed. You look at Shohei and you look at like this big, powerful hitter, but he has 16 stolen bases. He gives you a threat of running, and he gives you a threat of getting on a single and scoring from first on a hit into the gap. And you're right. I mean, Mookie, you know, you think of him always as our leadoff hitter. He's not crazy fast. Shohei is a lot more athletic in some ways than Mookie. So if Shohei gets on, he's going to get on second. He's got six. He's, what is he, the first player this year to hit 16 plus home runs and 16 stolen bases? I thought I heard him say that today. That's pretty impressive. And you're right. We get him to get the most at bats, and you want your player, your best guy, getting the most at bats. And that's what you're going to get from Shohei. And I like him at the leadoff. And tonight showed it even more. It was great.
Yeah. 19 home runs and 15 stolen bases this year.
He looked so good in that last game against the Royals with those two solo bombs. Swing was just locked in. I think his first home run went 451 feet. So you mentioned Andy Páez. He wouldn't make sense against right-handed starters because he's batting in the low 200s, but he's doing a really good job against lefties. And I don't think it's out of reach for him to potentially be batting leadoff against left-handed starters because he has a 354 batting average and an 831 OPS. So if the Dodgers did want to break it up, the Dodgers did want to break it up and go maybe righty Ohtani, Smith, Teoscar, that's a really good way to stack up. Or I guess Freeman. Then now I'm butchering this. Regardless, you stack your righties at the top. You put Ohtani and Freeman in there. You put yourself in a really good platoon advantage. So they might flirt with the idea of Páez batting leadoff. I don't think they would bat Will Smith leadoff, but they've done crazier things.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know, if you follow me on anything social media, I'm a massive Páez fan from day one. I would love to see him at leadoff. I mean, why not? I mean, why not? If they're going to want to break things up, and you're right, he's hitting great, might be something to flirt around with. I mean, Dodgers do some strange things every now and then with that order, and that could be something that you could see, but I just don't think right now Ohtani's going to move from that spot. I think what you're seeing, Ohtani, Smith, Freeman, That's what we're going to see for a long time. I think that's just what my gut says.
Hey, that was my first thought of who I would want to hit leadoff if it wasn't Shohei, was Andy Páez. I think that, and I think versus left-handed pitching, I would love to see a little creativity there. Change things up. I mean, you kind of have to alter things now that Mookie is not going to be there for the foreseeable future. Also, the one thing I do want to see from this team moving forward, now that Mookie's out of there, is a change in approach. They've got a lot of guys now that they're putting in the lineup that can play small ball, that can manufacture runs. I mean, I think this is a time to try different things, to try and score runs in different ways so that you can have that weapon in October. I've been screaming about this all season long, but I hope that, you know, this kind of shakes the team up so that they're focused on maybe trying to win in other ways.
hit that like button, hit that subscribe button while you're here, everyone. Super chat coming from Moose 1032. Do you think it's a possibility that if Rojas plays well, Freeman rethinks the Mookie at shortstop?
I mean, I hope so. I really I get that Mookie Betts was hit on the hand in the batter's box and it had nothing to do with him playing shortstop. But I think this is God telling us that we should not be putting our best player at shortstop at a position that he knows but has to work 10 times harder at to be good. And he still isn't great. And he's actually a liability over there, not only with the glove, but also it could diminish his offense. And so I hope that this is a wake-up call to maybe move him to a position that he's more familiar with, at least second base. He should be in the outfield, but at least second base, at least put your best defender at shortstop. If you're not going to go out and get a star shortstop like a Bichette or a Willy Adames or one of those guys, put your best shortstop out there. To me, it's like you're not sacrificing that much with the bat because Miguel Rojas is hitting the ball, but at the very least, you have the best possible defender at the most difficult position in the infield.
Do you guys feel that with Lux gaining so much more confidence defensively that you could also see him move back over to where he was, which is at shortstop? Have you guys thought about that move at all? I mean, I know was moved from there, but he is very confident right now and he's playing well defensively and he was a shortstop. So I kind of thought about that today. Like, do you even give Lux some reps over there if you need to, you know, because Chris Taylor's going to probably play some second now. So I thought about that rather than, you know, like the Bo Bichette thing would be awesome. Like, I love Bo Bichette, but like, what is the advantage for Toronto to trade him to us unless we're going to give up some high-end prospects? So could the Dodgers be creative and move Lux over?
Go ahead, Jake.
I don't see that happening. Only because what if it still doesn't work? Yeah. Then you got to move him back over to second base and it screws with his confidence and all of that. And plus, I really don't think that he's fully healed. I think his knee is still bothering him some way. He doesn't have the explosiveness on the base paths as he once did. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit better, but he's still not great. And I just feel like the main concern for Gavin Lux right now has to be his bat and his offense. They're batting him sixth in the order. They batted him ninth tonight.
Yeah, he got demoted. He's ninth now.
Typically, he's been batting sixth. But the biggest thing for him needs to be the offense. And I feel like putting him again in a position that may not work well it only could affect his hitting, I think, and his psyche. So for that reason, I don't think that they're gonna try him out there.
Okay, so I don't think you know my Lux takes very well yet, Coach, but I don't shy away from the fact that I think Gavin Lux is terrible. This is gonna be his big opportunity right now. This is his M&M one shot, whatever. Because with Mookie Betts out, the Dodgers basically now have to play Gavin Lux at second base. There's no more of this rivalry or this inner battle of can we get Mookie Betts back to second base? Because he probably won't be back until after the trade deadline. But these next 6 weeks or so leading up to the trade deadline, this is going to determine where Gavin Lux's future with the Los Angeles Dodgers are. Because if he's hitting like he is right now, which is not very good, he's a .211 hitter. Doesn't even have an on base of 300, offers no power to the team. If he can't get these stats up, they're either going to demote him as they have to, or they're going to trade him. And it would be very low value, but they're going to have to figure a way to either get him off the roster and get someone in that can get the job done. Or you guys who are everyone out there that still believes in Gavin Lux, you have to hope he starts to find his swing fast because the clock is ticking. You cannot go into the playoffs with this guy in your lineup if this is the version that you're getting. Because at least with Cody Bellinger a couple years ago, the power was still somewhat there. We're not even getting the home runs with Gavin Lux.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Kevin, on the last point, which is if he's still playing like this and they haven't traded him at this point, you can't go into the postseason with him at the very least in the starting lineup, possibly off the roster. If he's still hitting this poorly, But I think the Dodgers are going to give him every single opportunity. Like you said, he's going to get more at-bats now than he ever did without Mookie Betts there. They need him to be in that lineup. So they're going to give him the most opportunities, just like they're going to give the most opportunities to Chris Taylor to see if he can swing out of his two-year slump. So the Dodgers are in a weird spot right now, where they can weather the storm because the division isn't great. They've got a pretty good lead, and they're going to be fine. They're not going to take a massive hit without Mookie Betts. They can still beat bad teams like the Colorado Rockies, and there aren't a lot of good teams in the National League overall. So they have a shot to beat these sort of mediocre mid-level tier teams without Mookie Betts. So that'll give the other guys more opportunities.
This is Miguel Rojas's Nick Foles moment. If he can just deliver, there's a good chance he runs away with the position and they feel they don't need to add another shortstop and instead focus on the outfielders. Maybe we'll get to a wacky trade proposal by Jim Bowden later in the episode. But Coach, I want to ask you, because you're firsthand in Oklahoma City seeing these guys play, and we just saw Miguel Vargas get called up, but I have a hard time seeing him get many more at-bats because the outfield is a logjam. In your opinion, is there anyone on the Dodgers Oklahoma City roster that deserves the call?
You know, that's been talked about quite a bit. I mean, you've got Trey Sweeney. He's hitting 238, 10 home runs. Tulsa's got Alex Freeland, who I love. I got to finally see him in person. I've watched him on, you know, the MLB package, but in person, he looks really good at short. You know, Lipkis, but he's not really a shortstop. So I think the Dodgers, you know, back to your Lux thing. I like that there's a disagreement. I love Lux, and I still think there's something there, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, if he doesn't hit, you're right. I mean, they're going to have to do something. I don't see them sending him back down to Oklahoma City. I don't see any benefit in that. He's going to be somehow involved in a trade package. That's all that there's got to be. And you're right. There might not be any value for people with Gavin Lux at that point, which kills me because I love Gavin, but you have some good points. If he's not hitting, you know what? I mean, we've got to figure that spot out, because you go into the playoffs. If you want Gavin Lux in a big time at bat with, you know, a guy on third and you're down one, you know, I'm with you on that. But back to the whole thing, Trey Sweeney. I like Trey Sweeney, but he's hitting 238. I mean, is it time to bring Trey Sweeney up? I'm not sure about that. I've watched him a lot, and they're not ready to bring up Alex Freeland from Double A. So I think what we're looking at is what we're looking at. It's going to be Miggy Rowe, and let's hope he comes through.
Rojas at shortstop makes a lot of sense. I still think third base, there is an opening there. Kevin Biggio is kind of Mr. Freeze out there, takes a lot of strikes down the middle. Not going to get excited that he got an RBI base hit or whatever tonight. He still has a lot more to show me before I'm really locked in on him. But people are talking about, I guess I'm butchering his name. I thought it was Lipschitz, but you said it was Lipkiss. But whatever. We've been talking about him a lot. The guy is tearing it up in AAA. I think with all these injuries, you have to give him a call up at this point. I just don't see how you can't.
Well, he's got 17 home runs, 52 RBIs. I mean, I looked at his stats before we went on to make sure I was right on that. He's killing the ball right now. Like and you know what? A lot of people want major league experience. He has major league at bats. He has major league experience. And he kind of reminds me of what the Dodgers have done with Muncy and CT3. Like, yeah, they've changed him, and he's down hitting now. It's like, if this is the guy, this would be a guy to bring up. You're absolutely right. I mean, are we just going to let him hit 30 bombs down for us here in Oklahoma City? Are we ever going to give him the opportunity? And you talked about Miguel Vargas. Like, I wish he would get more at-bats, because, like, what is the benefit of bringing him up and playing, getting four at-bats a week?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, the problem is that Miguel Vargas is just not a good defender. So he's a liability out there in the outfield, and they've shown that they're not going to play him in the infield, which that's kind of his natural. To me, it's like, this is the opportunity to play him in the infield. They don't have Max Muncy for however long. I mean, his oblique injury is more serious than I ever thought before. Like, running Kevin Biggio out there. In fact, I was at the game that Yamamoto went down, and I was actually super excited because I'd never seen Yamamoto pitch. It was my first Dodgers game of the season, and that happened. I look up, I see Michael Grove warming up. It was a disaster. But the other thing that happened in that game was Kevin Biggio came up three times with runners on base, and he struck out looking every single time.
Can I jump? I'm with you guys.
Vargas has to be better than that.
I'm with you guys. Like, I trust what the Dodgers are doing. Like, they saw something in Vigio, but I want to see Vargas play. Like, okay, slide Rojas over to third. Let Vargas go to short. I don't know, but, like, we're just not giving this kid an opportunity, but you want to give a 190 hitter right now and Biggio an opportunity? Like, I didn't understand it, but I'm like this Dodger fan that, like, believes in, like, that move, but I would much rather see run Vargas out there. Let him get an opportunity rather than Biggio.
I mean, he's a third baseman by trade, right? That's his position. So it just doesn't, at least at the very least versus left-handed versus lefties, like, let him go out there, but.
Yeah, and he's dying out there in left field. That's not his position. He's dying. I've watched him play here in Oklahoma City in left field. He's not a left fielder. I mean, this is the perfect chance.
More Vargas. And why can't Lipkis not be the next Chris Taylor? Why not? Like, they think they're the similar age when they brought over Chris Taylor and they turned him into what he became. Why can't this guy be the next CT3 or Max Muncy? Give him a chance. That's all I'm saying, people. Aaron Vaughn wants to know where Jake's hat is. He also
I'll tell you, I had a important meeting today, so I wanted to do my hair, and I swooped it over to the side like this, and I made it look good. I'm wearing some product in there, so I decided that I didn't want to mess that up and put a hat on, but I guess I should.
Coach Barakoff, what a pleasant surprise! So we've got people in the chat happy to see Coach joining the show.
All right,
let's go to. Yang Yi's question, the other Dodger that went down. But before we dive into that, quick pause talking about our big show sponsor, Tick Pick. They've been sponsoring this podcast for, I think, almost 2 years now. My go-to when I'm looking for Dodgers tickets, because there's no service fees at checkout. Great interactive seat map so I can see where I'm going to sit, get an idea of what the view looks like. And I'm a big concert guy, even though I've cut down on concerts this year. But if I'm looking for a last-minute cheap deal, I just go on the Tick Pick app, find some shows that of my favorite bands playing in Los Angeles, and I'm on my merry way, and I see some awesome under the radar bands that are making a name for themselves. So what is Yoshinobu Yamamoto's timeline, asked by Yang Yi. So as Jake mentioned, in the Kansas City Royals game, he left after two innings. The initial diagnosis was a tricep soreness. And then the next day, after we got the news that Mookie Betts was going to be out for a while, they decided they're just going to dunk it all on us right now. They announced Yoshinobu Yamamoto has actually been diagnosed with a rotator cuff strain. So that's actually a lot more concerning than I initially thought, because anytime a starter has a rotator cuff strain, that could be four weeks. That could be 3 months. We just don't know yet. But the shoulder is very dicey. And I'm not entirely sure what version of Yamamoto we're going to see yet. I think there are a lot of question marks.
It's just so unfortunate because he was pitching so well and he owned the Yankees in that Yankee series and he was dealing and he finally found it. And then all of a sudden, bam, another pitcher goes down. How many injured pitchers have we seen this year? Star pitchers go down. Most of them finish for the whole season. I mean, it's just such a shame. And there was a clip of Mark Pryor running down the dugout towards Dave Roberts to tell him that it was really serious with Yamamoto. And you could just see the frustration on Dave's face. I think he dropped an F-bomb as he ran back into the clubhouse to see what was going on with Yamamoto. It's just like, it's just, you know, that was the one thing I was worried about this season. The Dodgers starting rotation is always just in shambles. I mean, at least the last 3, 4, 5 seasons. I mean, every single year we have catastrophic injuries to this starting rotation. Thank God Bobby Miller is coming back, because I was not expecting to see him the rest of the season, given the fact that the Dodgers say every injury is not that bad. And then, all of a sudden now it's the worst injury ever. So you never know with this team. So when they say that it's not a season ending injury for Yamamoto, I'm taking that with a grain of salt until I see him pitch again this year.
Yeah, you know what? And like, we saw him against the Yankees, and you saw what we're going to, like, what you envision what he's going to be like in the playoffs.
Yes, yes.
Like, he stepped up. Like, he's been good, but it was like, all right, this is the big stage. The whole, like, the ratings on that series were off the charts. And it's like he knew that. And you saw, like, I envisioned, like, this is what this dude's going to do for us in October in a must-win game. He's going to come through. And then you see against the doggone Royals. I mean, of all teams, I know they're much better this year, but it's like, why did we have to have, like, the worst injuries against Kansas City and a pitcher that had a 31 ERA plucked Mookie like that? It just killed me. But
always some random scrub.
Yeah, it's like if you had like a full Dodger healthy rotation, I mean, we would have so many different conversations about the Dodgers and what they're doing. It's so heartbreaking to see all these injuries. And this one, like, I'm just going to hold my breath. Like, are we going to have, is this going to be a month? Is this just a typical, let's go on the IL and let's get them rested? I don't know. Like, this one's concerning to me.
I'm more concerned about this injury right now than I am the Mookie Betts injury, just on the pure principle that this is one of our key starting pitchers dealing with a shoulder injury where he needs his shoulder to be an effective pitcher. And we're not sure what type of pitcher he's going to look like coming back from this rotator cuff. I mean, I think of Hyunjin Ryu, I think back in 2014, kind of dealt with something similar, eventually had to undergo shoulder surgery. We missed him for 2 years. There's been other pitchers, same story. But yeah, so what I'm thinking right now with Yamamoto is give him all the time off he needs. Ideally, he's back by late August and can start to get some momentum going. Because if I'm looking at this Dodgers rotation right now as it is, I'm not feeling fully confident in what we would be rolling in October with. We've got a bona fide ace with Tyler Glass now. You have to feel good about him. 3 ERA, 125 strikeouts, I believe, 125 strikeouts across 90-something innings. He's just been killing it. He dominated the Royals in his most recent outing. Game 2 was probably Yamamoto, but if he's not good to go, now it's a question mark. You've got Gavin Stone, who's been pitching phenomenal. He probably is their number 2 at this point on paper. Delivers 7 innings every time out. Mr. Consistency, another guy with a 3 ERA. And then you've got Bobby Miller, who has all the potential in the world, plenty of time to start to look healthy and right himself. He can slide into the conversation. And then after that, to me, it's a bunch of question marks. Kershaw's coming back. We'll see what version of Kershaw we get. I don't think we should see Clayton Kershaw start at anything earlier than a game 4 for the Dodgers. Walker Buehler has been really inconsistent. Gives up a home run every outing, got torched in his most recent outing, only 3 runs, but it was a big 3-run home run. His FIP is in the mid 5s. He just hasn't looked right mechanically either. Still time for him to get it together, but I don't feel comfortable with Walker Buehler starting a big playoff game right now. And then you've got James Paxton, who the advanced stat nerds would say he's not a good pitcher, but somehow he's been able to defy the odds. And like we saw tonight, went 7 innings, only 1 run. He's got a 3.65 ERA on the season. But the biggest knock against Paxton is he tends to fizzle out in the second half with injuries. So if I'm looking at this Dodgers team right now, I think we might have to trade for a starter if Yamamoto isn't healthy.
Well, look, if the playoffs were to start today, it would be Glasnow, Stone, and Paxton, 1-2-3. That's not going to cut it, folks. That is not going to cut it. So if that is what we're staring at right now, they do need to go out and get a starting pitcher. It's unfortunate because look at the names you just listed. I mean, Walker Buehler, Bobby Miller, Yamamoto, Kershaw. I mean, these guys at any one time were at the top of their game. They're dominant starting pitchers, and none of them can be trusted. Health-wise, performance-wise, we don't know what we're going to get from Kershaw. Walker Buehler's been underwhelming. We don't know if he's going to get back to the semblance of what we knew Walker Buehler to be. Paxton, I don't trust in a playoff game. I'm sure he's pitching well right now, but I don't trust him. And that guy's injury prone. So is Glasnow, by the way. So I'm all frazzled about this starting rotation. I think Whatever the Dodgers do at the deadline, if they go out and get a bat like a Luis Robert, let's say, they got to get like a Crochet to go along with it. They got to get a starting pitcher in a package like they did with Trey Turner and Max Scherzer a couple seasons ago. That's what they got to go for.
I finally have my starter that I'm targeting. Dun, 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 dun. He is on the Chicago White Sox, but it's not Garrett Crochet. It's Eric Fetty. I think this guy is all of a sudden really good. I think he figured it out in Korea. He's 31 years of age. I think this is the right-handed Rich Hill 2.0. Second opportunity in Major League Baseball. Clearly has found something. He's pitching for a terrible White Sox team, yet he has an ERA of about 309, and it's not luck because his FIP is in the mid-threes. This guy eats innings. I don't think he would cost the Dodgers an arm and a leg. And this is probably the back end starter that we need. We don't need someone that's going to be our game one or game two starter. We just need a guy that we feel comfortable with going like game four. And I think Eric Fetty makes a lot of sense because the thing that you want to trade your prospects for, I think, is still the bat. I think we're missing a bat.
The problem is that Eric Fetty would be a great pitcher to have so that we can finish the season. But I don't know that we're going to want to go with him game three in the playoffs. That's kind of what we need right now if we don't get Yamamoto back. And I don't think you can rest on your laurels that Yamamoto will be back because the trade deadline is going to come and go during that time period. So I like Eric Fetty. I think it would be a great throw-in. I mean, he certainly found it. He's not been a good pitcher up until this season, so he certainly figured it out in Chicago. And I think he would be a really great addition to this team that has been depleted by injuries in the starting rotation. But yeah. I think they got to go out and get someone better than that as well if you're going to get an Eric Fetty.
Problem is who, though?
Well, and who's going to want to deal to the Dodgers? And are the Dodgers even going to want to give up, which everybody's going to want, is Dalton Rushing. And I don't know if the Dodgers are willing to give up Dalton Rushing. I just don't see that. But, yeah, a starting pitcher makes a lot of sense to me.
Mark, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you believe that Dalton Rushing, I mean, I know that he can play first base, but do we envision him playing another position? Because they just locked up Will Smith for 10 years. So, you know, where's the pathway for him?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. He DHs quite a bit for Tulsa. He's our number one guy. I watched him live. I watched him last year in the playoff run with the Great Lakes team. That dude is a straight baller, man. I love that dude. Do you see Will Smith being our catcher for the next 10 years? I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know. Dalton Rushing, I just don't see the Dodgers want to deal Dalton Rushing. Now, Diego Cartaya, I could see them dealing him. I mean, he bats seventh for Tulsa. He's hitting 200 right now. He was such a hyped up name, but you're right. I mean, we have Will Smith for 10 years. What is the next step? I mean, Hunter Fiducia is hitting too in Oklahoma City right now. And he, there's no pathway for him. I get what you're saying on the Dalton Rushing. I think he's too talented though. I just think he's too talented and I don't see the Dodgers putting him in a trade package. I mean, do you see Jose De Paula being in a trade package for Fetty? For an end of the season pitcher like that, that's what I'm trying to get at. I just don't see who is going to want to deal us a starting pitcher unless we give up high end prospects. But the problem right now with the Dodgers is where's a pathway for, like you're saying, where's the pathway for them with our team? Either we're going to not play them or we're going to trade them. I don't know. To me, if we're going to trade those guys, it's got to be a high end starter that we could use in the playoffs and trust in the playoffs. I don't know if I trust Fetty in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you guys are saying, but what I'm trying to figure out is who could possibly be traded that we view as a high-end starter, because I just don't know if there's anyone out there. You look at the teams right now that are at the bottom. You've got the White Sox we've talked about. Crochet is awesome, but can he keep it up? He doesn't have a track record. And then the Angels are pretty bad, but I don't think I'm crazy about any of their starters. The Oakland Athletics, same thing. I don't really want any of their starters. St. Louis, we don't know what their deal is yet. They could be sellers. They could be buyers. We just don't know because pretty much the entire National League is in it outside of like the Rockies and one other team.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough deal. I mean, you got to trust that Freeman is going to do something, right? But I don't know who's going to want to deal like a high-end starter to us unless they break the bank in our system. And I don't want to do what the Padres did. They stink. Padres are terrible right now. But again, that's maybe me just being a homer. I could take that. But I don't know. It's tough. I have to put myself in other GM's positions, and who's going to want to give us something unless it's a monster take.
Jim Bowden has thrown out the idea that the Dodgers should trade Andy Páez, Dalton Rushing, Nick Frasso, Kyle Hurt, Peyton Martin, Justin Robleski, and Emil Morales for Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet. Would you make that deal?
Okay, Roberts has played one season. The dude's hurt all the time. Now, granted, he hit, 38 home runs that season, but the guy is hurt all the time. So you want to break our whole entire system for a guy that is always going to be on the IL.
That was my point about him. That's the point that scares me about him. And for Luis Robert, I agree with you, Coach. I honestly don't know if I want to break the bank for someone that we can't trust to stay healthy. We already have enough health concerns as it is. So if you're not going to go after Robert, who else is out there that is a big bat that can be impactful? I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about the Starling Martes of the world, but that is not really that much of an impact bat. They're good outfielders and they can hit, but you know, if you're wanting to look for a star, like Kevin said, even on the pitching side, there's really not that many guys available. And Robert's hitting 186 right now. So
he's had 1 year. 1 year he played it. He played 145 games in 1 year. He hit 38 home runs, but it's 1 year. He plays 80 to 90 games per year, and he's had 1 year of this major production. I would never give. That's such high end guys in our system to give for a guy that is could easy any day go on the IL. But I don't know. I don't like that move at all.
I think it's too much. I wouldn't do that trade either. I don't think the Dodgers are going to end up with Luis Robert. I just think the White Sox asking price is just too much. That's why I think Eric Fetty is realistic. They have guys they can move. They stack the farm, so I'm not too worried. Hell, they could probably move Miguel Vargas and one other guy for Eric Fetty. I don't think it would cost them all too much because I do believe Fetty is a rental and probably will be a free agent anyways. And then on top of that, the Miami Marlins, their pitching staff is in shambles. And Jesus Luzardo, a guy we've talked about, is not having a good season. So I don't think I trust him either. So we can move on to one of the final topics on the evening. The Los Angeles Dodgers revealed their second edition of the City Connect uniforms. Jake, what are your thoughts?
Well, I can tell you I love the hat. Why? Because I already bought one. I thought the hat looked so dope with the D intertwined with the Los Angeles to form LAD, which is the Dodgers, the call letters for the Dodgers since the Angels decided to take Los Angeles for some reason. So I really like the hat.
What are they charging you for it?
It was a $45 hat. Oh,
God.
Yeah. Don't say that too loud. I'm trying to get my wife to buy me that hat. Don't say that too loud.
It's a $45 hat, but free shipping. So there's that. And the jerseys, I mean, I can, there are some cool aspects to them, but I mean, I don't know. They're not great. Every time they come out with a new one of these, you're always disappointed because it could be so much better. And why they couldn't design something more connected to Los Angeles than what they did. I mean, the cream and the off-white and the little paint splatter, you know, Pop-Tart thing. I mean, what is that? It said in the little description that it was supposed to reflect the colors of the stadium seating at Dodger Stadium, but the dots are so small you can't even tell. And I just feel like both City Connect jerseys that they have, the Los Dodgers one and this one, it's like they missed big opportunities to really show off Los Angeles in a cool way, and they just kind of missed on that.
I'm with you. It's the hat is cool, but it's time for Dodger baseball is too small. Why put that down where it's going to be tucked in and we can't see that? I know they were honoring the memorial, the Coliseum or whatever it was with the script, but Nike just isn't Nike. Like, you expect so much better from Nike. The hat's cool. I don't like the jersey at all. Dodgers are such an iconic uniform. Like, to me, it just takes away from, like, we're the Dodgers. We don't need a Kinect jersey like this. And I thought they were going to come up with something so much more cool than what we got. And it's so disappointing. I like the hat. I'm going to buy the hat, but, like, nothing else. Like, I am not excited about anything else about that Kinect jersey.
Also, I must say, before Kevin jumps in, they showed off Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei. And Freddie Freeman is the number 5, obviously, but on the back of his jersey, it says 05. What is that? That's
terrible.
That's not baseball.
Terrible.
You don't do that.
Kershaw's jersey looks even worse. The 22 looks terrible.
Yeah. And like, for some reason, some of the bottoms of the numbers are cut off for no reason. Yeah. And they didn't look too happy with wearing them either. So I don't know. What do you got to say, Kev?
I promised everyone a reaction when these were teased or leaked a couple months ago, and we were hoping they weren't real. So hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, because I'm about to sound off. So yeah, the little backstory is the City Connect on the front by the chest. That's like an homage to the LA Memorial Coliseum font, which to me, I don't really see it, but go for it, I guess. Feels like a reach. And then the hat, I don't really get I like the logo. That's actually the one positive I have. I dig the hat. I'm not paying $45 for that sucker, but it is a pretty cool hat, even though it does kind of look like a Disneyland logo had a intercourse with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and this is the hat we've got now.
You just ruined it for me.
Back right now. I can't return that thing.
Then this is where they lost me. So this jersey, they say it's like the galaxy of the stars. To me, it looks like Toy Story meets Pop-Tarts meets Jawbreakers meets Disneyland and all that. First of all, what part of LA are these people in? Because there is so much light pollution in the air. I don't even see stars in Los Angeles anymore. So what? I know that weed is legal out here, but they are high as you know what. If they think there are stars visible all over Los Angeles, because that is some bull right there. And then the little polka dots, I was kind of confused. I think they were trying to reference the different Dodgers seat colors, which I don't think is really a thing anymore. But they're also trying to tie it to diversity and all that, which is cool with me. Los Angeles is definitely a melting pot and it's very symbolic of diversity. But I don't think it really represents or looks aesthetically pleasing on these uniforms.
The fact that they expect someone to get that from that, like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so it looks like Pop-Tarts just jizzed all over these jerseys. These jerseys are fucking terrible. If you're going to spend $175 on this piece of crap, then you're either blind or a moron. Because I'm sorry, this is just bait right here. They're just trying to take your money. Someone in our Discord chat, which I'll drop the link in a second, said these were probably AI generated. And I 100% believe it, because these were half-assed. Some BS nonsense that they're trying to get people to buy in. Like, no one's going to become a Dodgers fan because of these jerseys. These City Connects are not going to last 3 years. I can guarantee it. As boring as the last rendition of these were, at least they made a little bit more sense because they were tied to the Mexican community. But I know they had to die with Julio Urias and all the bullshit he caused us. But these new renditions, they're terrible. I don't know who designed them. But if they're listening to this podcast, I would love for them to come on and explain themselves, because so far I'm not getting the message. These jerseys suck, and I'm going to be pretty disappointed when I see these in action.
I don't know why they didn't have some sort of like citywide competition with LA local artists coming up with their own designs and then picking the best one and featuring that artist as like the creator of the jersey. I mean, how cool would that have been? There's so much rich history here with artists and graphic design and all of that. Like, that to me would be, you know, kind of giving the people what they want, made by the people kind of a thing. I mean, you need someone that's from LA that gets it, that can encompass all the things that I mean, look, I'm on TikTok all the time. I see people do redesigns of these jerseys, and like, half the stuff I see on there are better than what they're producing for these City Connects. And that goes like baseball wide. I mean, there are only a few that I actually really like. In fact, one of them being the Angels one. I thought that that one was actually pretty cool because it was this laid back beachy vibe that they were, and they're not even near the beach. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so the fact that they whiffed on this is just crazy to me.
Even the Giants one is better. At least it has the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, I can at least tie it to San Francisco. Cool.
Right.
This one, I'm like, what the hell are we talking about? No ties to Los Angeles. Drop the ball once again. Pop-Tarts, Jawbreakers, Disneyland, all that Mickey Mouse bullshit thrown onto these uniforms. The color scheme makes no sense to me. The font looks ridiculous. This is a clown show. Nike dropped the ball, and whoever is behind this designing process, I don't even think the Dodgers had anything to do with this. I think they just let some consultant for Nike or a room full of people make these, and they're like, sure, go ahead, pal. Because Nike is just, I don't know what's happened to Nike. They're not what they used to be.
No, terrible. You guys said everything I would have said, so thank you. Terrible. So excited to see them, and like I had such expect terrible. Terrible uniform.
Yeah, they're going to debut them next homestand, right?
I think Saturday.
Eagles, right? Yeah.
Okay, so if there's anything you guys want to talk about real quick before we sign off, I'll give you a second to think about that. I promised everyone the Walker Buehler giveaway. So there's a bunch of entries in this hat right now. Someone's about to win a free bobblehead. I'm going to say, being transparent, I was disappointed with you people. There were not as many entries as I was hoping. This was literally a free bobblehead. We still got like 50, 60 entries, but come on, we should have had in the hundreds. This was all you had to do was type in the comment section Walker Buehler in each episode. But regardless, those who entered, you get a chance right now. So I'm mixing it up. I'm gonna look away and reaching in right now. Let's see who we get. This is live, so this is not rigged, everyone. Okay, I'm dropping it right now. Ray Coyolla, so Ray Coyolla 2651. You are the winner of the Walker Buehler bobblehead giveaway. I will go ahead and contact you in the comment section. And I think you follow us on Twitter as well. I recognize that handle. So you'll hear from us, Ray. Congratulations. Free Walker Buehler.
Ray should feel honored that he got his name just destroyed by Kevin.
He's never in the chat.
Just a straight butch job. Love it.
Never in the chat. So it's all good.
My final thoughts are these. I think that with the injuries to Mookie Betts and Yamamoto, obviously huge, significant impacts to this team. The key is going to be getting them back for October. I mean, obviously we know that. And so I'm actually looking forward to this, you know, interim period, this kind of adversity adjacent time that the Dodgers are facing. I mean, look, they're at the top of the division. They have a comfortable lead in the NL West right now. So for me, it's just about seeing who steps up, who wants playing time. You know, this is a huge audition period for Kevin Biggio. This is a huge audition period for Gavin Lux. This is a big, you know, audition period for Miguel Rojas. Can he hold down the position for an extended period of time? Will Chris Taylor wake up from his slumber? Pitchers are coming back. Bobby Miller, I'm really excited to see him. Kershaw's been thrown off the mound. I'm excited to see him come back. So guys are coming back. We're going to see what we're made of. And that's kind of what this period is like, who's healthy? What do they have? This is kind of an exciting time to see where this roster is as we get closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Coach, what would you like to share?
You know, I'll be quick. Here's the thing. I think as fans, we get really nervous. I think I think we need to trust what the Dodgers are going to do. I think it's fun to throw out all these great ideas, but our front office has made some really good moves. We spent a lot of money. I think they're going to spend. We might get some rentals, but I don't think we need to get super paranoid at this moment. Let's let this thing play out a little bit. I think some names are going to emerge. I think there's going to be some names that we don't even think of that we might just end up getting, but I trust our front office. I trust that they want to win a World Series. And bottom line, the Dodgers want to win a World Series, and that's what we want. So I'm going to trust 100% in what our management is going to do. And I'm going to like to see Miggy, my man Kike, best player in baseball, CT3 start figuring it out. Gavin Lux is going to figure it out. Like, I'm going to trust in our Dodger guys to figure this thing out, and let's win some more games. And let's get this thing up to like 16 and a half over the Padres, man. Let's just bury them.
Good stuff. I'm going to shout out Justin Yamas. Kevin, loser of our fantasy baseball group, would have to wear the City Connect jerseys. Well, I don't know who's going to pay for those, because that buy-in, or I should say the grand prize, is probably almost as much as the City Connect jersey. So doesn't seem worth it to me, but I will say Catch the Blues has been pissed at me recently because I am on a tear with trades. I acquired Aaron Judge just the other day. I traded for Freddie Freeman. I'm loading up people in our fantasy league. Wow. So my final thoughts are going to be pretty brief. Dodgers need to win this series against the Colorado Rockies. We just beat their best pitcher, and he didn't even look that good, Cal Quantrill. The rest of these guys that Colorado is going to be throwing at us are a bunch of scrubs. So this is a good opportunity for the bats to really get their numbers juiced up. Teoscar Hernandez has been pretty sensational, driving in a lot of runs, and I've been loving what he's doing for the Dodgers. He's flirting with near blank check status. But win this series, want to see the Dodgers do a little bit better than playing 500 ball, which kind of feels like the trend they've been doing the last month or so. So let's have a good second half of June. I'm going to call my shot and say that this is going to be a monster 2-week stretch for Freddie Freeman. I think he continues it going. Calling it now, 2 home runs, multiple doubles, tons of RBIs. I think Freddie Freeman is going to run away and be the player of the month on the Dodgers for the month of June.
I like it. He's figured it out at the plate, and he's going to step up. I think Shohei and Freeman are going to step up and carry this team through this period without Mookie.
All right, I'm hope going so. On a limb. CT3. He's going to get it done.
Well, I hope so. I hope all our guys figure it out. I'm not rooting against any of our players. I mean, Chris Taylor, I would love to see him figure it out, because we need all these guys.
We need it. All right, so that's the Incline Dodgers, folks. Make sure to subscribe if you're listening on the audio feed, or if you're watching back on YouTube, hit that like button, leave us a review. And we got another giveaway in the works. It was going to be announced actually when he was pitching, but I felt it'd be distasteful to do a Yoshinobu Yamamoto giveaway announcement on the night he got hurt. So we're going to hold back on that one and wait until we get some more news. But it's coming, people, so that one will be exciting. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Incline Dodgers podcast.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.